There's a doll you don't want in your house. What do you mean, Annabelle? She doesn't even walk, let alone spout foul-mouthed insults while chasing you with a comically oversized butcher knife. No, we're here to talk about Chucky, who debuted in 1988 with Child's Play, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
It is the number one movie in America. Spooky Special Part 2. I'm Sean Collier. I named it Spooky Special this morning.
I like that.
I like it.
I don't know
it,
if you saw works. That in the feed.
I did. And
spooky seems to be the buzzword this year.
All right, spooky.
I'm seeing spooky in memes.
All right, let's do it.
You just heard, I'm Sean Collier, who may or may not have already said that sentence, and I'm here with a gross rural family worth of, no, I'm not connecting. Is there any group, was there any respectable group of people in the
trick or treaters?
A trick or treating, a walk-on group of trick or treaters.
Yes. Just passing in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. We're extras.
We should not be associated with
keeping it at
what's
arm's
going
length.
On. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Hi.
And Camila Adams.
Hello, and I'm glad you mentioned Annabelle because we had a little poll going on our Twitter feed.
What were the results? It was who's the scarier doll?
Yeah, and I should have actually put in there the dolls from Tales from the Hood also because those guys were crazy. But as of right now, Annabelle's in the lead.
As scarier?
Yeah.
I mean,
I've never seen an Annabelle movie.
She doesn't do a whole lot, you know?
I know.
She'll be in a room, and then when you go back, she's in a different part of the room. You know, it's that
spooky.
Kind of scary.
I think it's supposed to be, I think it's just a lot of more possession type, like demonic type stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Shaking of walls and, you know, writing crazy things. And
she's like the conduit or the the familiar, or she's one of them demon words.
Exactly.
Like she's not the problem.
Exactly.
She's just creepy looking and
right.
Helps out the problem. I don't know.
Whatever.
I've seen them all, and I've enjoyed some of them.
Right, and I'm still just not quite clear on what she does. But also, another poll we did was who's the more iconic horror character, Mike Myers versus Freddy versus Jason? Mike Myers got it, 47%.
See, I think if the word is iconic, it's Jason.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
I would pick Freddy.
I would pick Freddy.
More iconic.
As the icon of the three. I mean, Jason is almost...
I always forget what movie Jason's in.
But he's almost an archetype at this point. Like,
like
to me, a Jason is like a Frankenstein, a mummy at this point.
Really?
A big guy with a mask and a machete is to like its own monster now.
All right.
Whereas Freddy is a character. Michael Myers is a character.
Okay. I think that I've only seen the first Friday the 13th.
Spoiler, not really in.
So, exactly. So, I guess I did sort of watch Freddy vs. Jason once. Like, it was on in my presence.
That is, I was so horror movie and specifically slasher movie crazy when that came out that I saw it 3 times in a 24-hour period.
Holy
wow.
Cats.
I think this is still a thing. If you work at a movie theater, unless it's different now because of technology and hard drives and whatever, when I worked at movie theaters, someone had to watch a print when it got to the theater to make sure it was cool.
Yeah.
And so if you really wanted to see, say, Freddy versus Jason, you told the manager and they say, okay, be here, you know, quarter after midnight, Wednesday night, and you can be the guy that watches.
So lucky.
So it arrived late. And it was like the day before it opened. There weren't Thursday screenings at the time. So at midnight going into Friday, I watched it. And then the next day, I wasn't doing anything, so I watched it again. Then I worked that night, and they let me off early, so I was like, I think I'll watch Freddy vs. Jason one more time.
Why not?
It's really exciting that they both were there. We have another note on a crossover coming up, but let's get to Child's Play.
All right.
Because I was like, man, I really like Child's Play.
I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I almost watched the second one right after it. But,
I thought about it.
But it was rented. I had to rent it. I had to pay money for that one. This one was on Prime.
I thought about watching the 2019 Child's Play remake. But I listened to our last episode and you guys talked about how bad it was. So I saved my $4.
Yeah, please don't.
It wasn't terrible. It was just very much in the this doesn't need to exist.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense. At least with this one, the doll is possessed by this man's soul.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, it's a computer malfunction.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
All right. That's
but like an evil computer malfunction. There was blood. There was like blood in the thing or whatever.
It still doesn't make sense because it's like a computer malfunction. And so this doll does not have the strength to do what it was doing.
But the voodoo and the that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
I will buy the voodoo more before I buy a computer malfunction.
We'll get to it.
Okay. So speaking of which, whose turn is it to do our 60-second recap?
It's Sean.
It's my turn.
All right, let's hear it.
Who wants to time me?
I got it.
Always at the ready, Robin. Faxy.
Mm-hmm. I know all the facts, including what time it is.
Faxy and prepared. That's the Boy Scout symbol. Just say when.
Go.
Serial killer Charles Lee Ray is chased into a toy store by Prince Humperdinck. The career criminal is fatally wounded, but fortunately, he learned voodoo for just such an occasion. He delivers his spirit into a nearby good guy doll. Later, hardworking single mom Karen buys the possessed doll from a street peddler as a gift to her almost nauseatingly sweet son, Andy. Andy loves his new doll, even after the toy, named Chucky, murders the babysitter for not watching him, letting him watch news reports about Charles Lee Ray's surviving accomplices. Chucky goes on a revenge spree, and only Andy, then Andy and Mom, then Andy, Mom, and Prince Humperdinck realize that he's a serial killer in disguise. Eventually, our heroes lure Chucky back to the family's apartment, where Andy gets to deliver the best action hero line in cinema history before they kill Chucky about 7 times. The film ends with no one addressing how they're possibly going to explain any of this.
Very good. It's 52 seconds.
Nice.
All right.
That was a good one.
Yeah. What's the greatest line in cinema history?
This is the end.
This is the end,
friend.
Like, it doesn't stand alone as well as some of the Arnold quips.
Right.
But, like, we're friends to the end, and then a 6-year-old just sneers and says, this is the end, friend.
Tosses a lit match.
Yep.
So good.
That kid was, like, nauseatingly sweet in the... Oh God!
It was
so
a
cute.
Little much.
He's really a precious child.
He is, and then when he starts to cry, when Chucky's gonna kill me?
Oh.
I felt it. I felt that one.
So, what were both of your relationships with Chucky beforehand?
I don't think that I saw it.
I've never seen this. I have seen Bride of Chucky.
Mm.
I know. I've seen I think I saw Bride of Chucky.
Yeah,
but for whatever reason, because I wasn't allowed to, I'm sure I never saw this one. And then, but I had cousins who saw it. And so it was very present in my childhood. And they would always quote it. They would always talk about it, blah, blah, blah. And then there's also, the whole, this is around the time of the Cabbage Patch Kid craze.
Right.
Right.
So everybody's got cabbage, multiple Cabbage Patch Kids in their home. And I remember always being a little bit afraid that something could go awry.
He's technically more like a My Buddy.
Yeah.
Did My Buddy exist before this film? Were they just ripping it off entirely?
Yes.
Thank you.
The look was based partially on My Buddy, but not enough in a legally, responsible way, which is good because anecdotally, this is supposed to have really hurt My Buddy.
Well, I definitely didn't know that Chucky was child-sized.
Yes.
I thought Chucky was Cabbage
smaller.
Patch doll size.
Oh, yeah.
He's
a
big
dude. He seemed to shrink, by the Bride of Chucky time.
I'm pretty sure he's smaller in Bride of Chucky. But
and like,
I'm
we just saw
this on 20-year-old memories.
Well, we just saw a Chucky in Ready Player One who was, handheld.
Yeah. He was really tiny. That is funny that we get another Chucky. We're coming back around. And also Brad Dourif.
Brad Dourif.
This has been our Brad Dourif double feature for the month, which is appropriate.
It really does work. My favorite thing is that Brad Dourif and Chris Sarandon face off in the beginning. That's Prince Humperdinck.
Right, yeah.
Both nominated for Best Supporting Actor in 1975, previously discussed on the podcast because they lost to, oh God, you devil star, George Burns.
Wow.
Wait, he won for Oh God, You Devil?
No, that's right.
I was like, I would have remembered
Boys.
That.
Yeah. Remember, which is not a good movie. That is a bad movie.
Remember how I said whenever one of our episodes overlaps with the Oscars, we'll bring it up. Turns out, doesn't happen all that often.
Surprise.
Well,
surprise.
It just is. It,
was Ready Player One a visual effects?
It was.
Okay, yes. There we go. We should have acknowledged that.
Come on, Robin.
Yeah. Also, my other Chris Sarandon trivia is that Susan Sarandon's name comes from being married to him.
No idea until I was on his Wikipedia page yesterday.
I was always wondering, but never cared enough to like really search it out.
I'm pretty sure they were already divorced by the time she became famous.
Wow. Yeah. But I love me some Chris Sarandon. Got to meet him at Steel City Con a couple years ago.
How tall is he?
He's my height. He's quite tall. Maybe a hair shorter. He's also very commanding.
He's handsome.
He's so handsome still. And I had like my purse on. We were taking the picture. He's like, oh, you don't want that on. And he's like, takes my purse off. And then immediately I'm just like, hello, Prince.
And he didn't yank your wallet out because that sounds like a grift.
Can we take a break to talk about future conventions that I might go to? Because not only is Chris Sarandon back at Steel City Con in 2 months, first of all,
Carrie Elwes.
Nev Campbell is there, which is tight. Probably enough to get me to go.
And also Denise Richards.
With Denise Richards, which they said somewhere that like this is Denise Richards' first convention appearance ever. So this is your first in the world opportunity for that Wild Things.
For your Wild Things photo op.
They're like Sean Astin and at least one or two lesser hobbits are there. There's a whole bunch of Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond and Elizabeth Berkley and Mark Paul Gosselaar are all there.
Yes.
The current Chewbacca is there. Junis Watomo.
There's also some...
And there's a Princess Bride. Carrie Elwes, Wallace Shawn, and Chris Sarandon are all there.
Chris Sarandon goes to conventions on the strength of Princess Bride?
I think so.
Okay.
And also Fright Night.
Fright Night. Yeah. Cool.
Also from the director of Child's Play, which we're nominally here to talk about.
Yeah.
Tony Danza, too. Tony Danza is like far down the list.
Tony Danza.
Tony. All right.
Well, so basically, I will
do
be
love Taxi.
I will be going to December Steel City Con. Carrie Elwes.
Yeah, it would be nice to say, hey.
I was like.
You've had a very unusual career, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was like maybe like 10, 15 feet away from him in a hotel lobby once and couldn't find the courage to go say anything to him. I buckled.
I'm super impressed with your regular contact with celebrities and keeping your cool because I definitely am not that. I would be like, don't look directly at me. I might melt.
Found yourself. Yeah. I was afraid that I might find myself on his back. So, you know, it was really best that I just kind of keep a distance.
This is since the last time you've been to my house. Mary Beth went to Wizard World almost solely to meet Zachary Levi. Shazam Levi, and she
Zachary not Jewish Levi. How did that happen?
He's not.
I know.
Really? Okay.
Right.
She wore a shirt that she has that's like it looks like it's a knit. You know, might say like Bingo Grandma, only it says Danny DeVito. And so the picture of them is just Zachary Levi pointing at her shirt and laughing. It's really
it.
Precious.
Does that read as him pointing at her boobs and laughing?
It's a little bit below.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good.
It works out.
All right, so what are the stats on this
Child's Play? This is a Child's Play episode. It was released November 9th, 1988, the 24th number one film of the year. It did come out after Halloween because there were too many horror movies that year. Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, was a number one for 2 weeks, as was Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, which was number one on Halloween of that year. They Live was number one the preceding week. There was a lot of competition.
Wow.
Child's Play won the weekend with $6.5 million. It was a race for first. In second, the debuting Ernest Saves Christmas earned $5.7 million. In third, the also debuting Iron Eagle 2 for $3.5 million. Child's Play went on to earn $33.2 million, the 34th highest grossing film of the year. It's the second best grossing horror film of the year, behind only The Nightmare on Elm Street. It easily outgrossed the Halloween sequel, Friday the 13th Part 7, that was that year. So Child's Play is the number two horror film of 1988, unless you count Beetlejuice, which obviously made way more money. Is Beetlejuice
Do
a horror movie?
Do we count Beetlejuice?
I can't remember.
I don't.
Did Beetlejuice go to number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the list.
I don't know if it's horror or just dark comedy.
I was definitely afraid of it as a child. The sandworm thing.
Some creature effects.
Yeah.
This is the rare case where the original, even with a bunch of sequels and inflation, the original is the highest grossing Child's Play movie.
Huh. Not surprising.
The Bride of Chucky is second, $32.3 million. This year's remake is third with $29.2 million. That only made $29 million $2019, which
right.
is
not very good.
Kind of a big flop.
I would just like to request that all of my money spent at that movie goes to Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah, it was good.
Earmarked.
A big part of the problem was it opened against Toy Story 4, like, to be cute. Like, there was a poster that where like, you know, like Chucky's, the whole poster was like stuffed animal fluff and Chucky's arm dragging away Woody's hat.
Okay, that's really funny.
I like that.
It's
not enough to make money, though.
It's cute right. and funny. The plan did not work, but good job for trying.
I mean, well, Toy Story 4 also didn't make as much money as they wanted it to, so maybe it was a bad weekend.
It was still, it was an over $100 million weekend for Toy
right,
Story 4.
Right, but Toy Story 4 was one of those things where it made a ton of money instead of all of the money, and so it was reported as a failure.
Wow.
And it had Angry Creepy Dolls in it. Mm-hmm. So
did it.
Maybe.
Still haven't seen it.
Me either.
You haven't seen Toy Story 4?
Listen.
It's low on the list right now.
I am doing so bad at watching movies. Like, my one of my great joys in life, and I'm just absolutely failing at it. AMC A-List is making money off of me? How
should never
dare
happen.
They?
Anyway. Robin's problems with time management aside. No, it's fine. You're doing fine in life. There are eight.
Thank you. I need that.
There are eight Child's Play films.
Damn.
Child's Play. I know.
Definitely. Whoa. If somebody asked me, if you said how many Child's Play films are there, I would be like, Child's Play, Child's Play 2, Bride of Chucky, whatever they did this
right.
Year.
I would think
that's
four tops.
Half.
Child's Play 1,
the
2,
other ones?
Child's Play 1, 2, and 3, then Bride of Chucky, then Seed of Chucky.
Ew.
Which is
what a gross
their
expression.
Seed of Chucky was followed by two direct-to-video sequels.
And then another one was like a CBS made-for-TV movie.
We're getting there. Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky.
Stop.
The remake was the only one without Brad Dourif, which for all the...
Damn, so that's where all Brad's money been coming from.
Yeah.
Chucky movies.
I mean, for as odd as that was... Mark Hamill was very good.
That's right.
Mark
yeah.
Hamill
if
was
you're
the voice
gonna if
yeah.
you're gonna recast Chucky,
yeah.
that's the only
right.
way to go.
That was an excellent choice. There is theoretically a TV series in development. They're calling it Chucky. That is supposed to come out with Brad Dourif doing the voice next year on Sci-Fi. So
sure,
I can keep that.
Look forward to
look
that.
For that. No.
In our recurring feature, Box Office Mojo lists that don't make a lot of sense. They have a genre called toys come to life.
Yes,
is that
they
a,
do.
I guess it's a big genre.
Child's Play is seventh. The top four are the four Toy Story movies. Can you guess five and six?
Small
Dead
Soldiers.
Silence.
Small Soldiers is fifth, $54.6 million.
Annabelle.
No,
she doesn't come to life.
She doesn't come
to
life. She's just possessed. Six is The Indian in the Cupboard.
Ooh, I loved that book when I was a kid.
This is a strange list because I immediately, when you say toys come to life, I immediately think horror. It's horrible. But no, there's like a bunch of like
that's
wholesome,
creepy.
Right.
there's a lot of wholesome toys come to life movies.
Very briefly, the writer, Don Mancini, is the Mustafa Akkad of the Child's Play series. Basically, his entire life is Child's Play. He is still pushing a crossover called Child's Play on Elm Street. He wants to do the Chucky versus Freddy, and more power to him.
What do you think that looks like? Well, like, who wins?
Or do they team up?
Mm.
That might be more of a union than a...
True.
There was
kids go to sleep with a doll.
Right.
Into Freddy's dream world. You're welcome, Mancini. But done. Wrote it for you.
There was a bright, shining moment after Freddy versus Jason where they're like, we're going to bring in Ash and we're going to get Leatherface involved and Michael Myers. And none of that happened except in comic books.
Okay. I'm assuming that would be pretty expensive.
I mean, except that none of these franchises are even active right now.
Right.
There hasn't been a Friday the 13th in 10 years.
The Ash show is over.
The Ash show is over. Nightmare on Elm Street is in. Nightmare on Elm Street, I was looking at yesterday, is in development hell. There's like another reboot that they're working on that they can't get going. Like,
yikes.
I miss Freddy. Child's Play was directed by Tom Holland, not Spider-Man. Another guy named Tom Holland.
Spider-Man Tom Holland, still not born for still not born. I don't think, 10 yeah. years.
Right?
He also directed Fright Night and Thinner and wrote Psycho 2.
Wait, okay. The original Fright Night or the remake?
Yeah, no. The
And Psycho 2?
He wrote Psycho 2, did not direct it.
Okay.
And John Lithgow was considered as the voice of Chucky.
That would have worked.
Final fact.
That yeah, definitely would have worked.
But Brad Dourif was great.
Yeah.
I think that the live action portions would not have worked as well with John Lithgow. I'm so impressed. Brad Dourif, I've always really adored him as an actor. He just leans into exactly who he is. Like he really gets his own creepiness and works it really well. The voodoo scenes are like, they're definitely the weak part of the film.
Yes.
But there is absolute commitment on his part to treating it seriously. And that makes it as effective as it possibly could be, despite how cringeworthy it is.
I mean, this movie starts at a 10.
Yes.
They're like, we don't know if we're going to get back, but the first 10 minutes are going to go crazy. We are blowing up a toy store.
Yeah.
Get on board.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that the voodoo transference was going to be subtle. I don't know why.
No.
Like, I guess I was picturing...
Like, he's going to be kind of like whisper the whole thing, or...
Like, you remember in most X-Files episodes where something weird would happen, and it would basically just be a weird-looking guy shaking and muttering something,
yeah.
And then maybe there would be, like, a storm on the horizon, and then it would cut to the theme music?
Okay.
Like, I was expecting that. Like, it's clear he's doing something, but we're not going to, like, really... No, lightning is... shooting through the window while Chris Sarandon flies backwards.
Yes. This is so all good. This is like absolutely.
And walks away pretty much fine.
Yeah, he was
right.
fine.
Not a scrape, not a scratch.
I thought maybe Chris Sarandon was going to be offed in the beginning.
I did too.
And then he's a main character.
No, this is why I don't think I ever saw this movie, because I had no idea he was in it.
Definitely never seen one frame of this. It was all new to me. Because I definitely had some moments where like, I must have seen part of this at some point,
right.
But no way, it was all new.
And I think it's just one of those things that's just, it's been in our pop culture for so long.
Right.
And you've seen bits and pieces of this and that, or people have always referenced it, or, you know, there's always something mentioned about it. So you just assume that you've seen the movie.
Right, but nope.
And he got so silly. Again, like I said last time, at Halloween Horror Nights, he's basically a stand-up comedian.
Right.
That it's weird to go back to this one and just like, oh, he's really mean.
He's just a killer.
He's just an angry jerk who happens to be a doll for a while.
Yeah. So it wasn't clear to me for a second that Charles Lee Ray was like a straight up, was a murderer. Because I thought when he killed Maggie, Aunt Maggie, that was like, that's a bit much right off the gate. but it was like, oh, East Side Strangler
something
or something like
that.
Yeah, so that was his thing. He was doing that anyway.
He was like, time for more murder.
How much was he going to get off of the news? That, like,
like locations of where his buddies were?
They really were doing a lot of detective work for him.
Right. This was an effective TV exposition movie. And I was sad for Andy, even though, like, he's a little bit annoying. I there was a couple moments when I was like, he just wants a
He's a
friend.
Lonely kid with
he's,
a dead yeah. dad
and now
an
he's
overworked
traumatized.
Mother.
Traumatized for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
That poor kid, he's not going to live a normal, happy existence after this.
I'm sure we find out what happens to him in 2 or 3.
Which is why I wanted to watch 2.
Will Andy be okay?
I'm not going to pay $4 for it.
So I went to the actor's IMDb page. He's one of those people where the bio was clearly written by his mother.
He's a precocious young man.
It talks about how he's such a, he was such a consummate professional despite all of the difficulties of being a child actor. And it really is quite sad.
What happened to him?
I don't know. He's one of those people who has, you know, a few credits, like it's like a couple Child's Plays, maybe a couple other things as a kid, and then shows up in something you've never heard of in like 2017. So it's like, you know, did someone who went to high school with him
right.
go to NYU and then say, like, right. hey.
I need you to be in my film.
Right, exactly.
My student film.
Right.
And mom was, I liked, what was her name? Nancy? I'm just going to assume Nancy.
Seems right.
Sounds
Seventh Heaven mom.
That's what Mary Beth kept saying. It's the mom from Seventh Heaven.
Okay.
Had a better standing now than the dad from Seventh Heaven.
Yeah. Yikes. That was, oops, I never watched the show, but that was upsetting.
Yeah.
What happened to the dad from Seventh? I never watched Seventh Heaven.
Oh, apparently he's a pedophile, so.
Ah, well, that's great. It's
yep.
hell of a world we live mm-hmm. in. But on a much better, lighter, more irrelevant point, can we be done with scenes where a bespectacled manager tells an unfortunate working mom that they have to work late? That
it,
like,
he was so serious about it. Like, dude, you're not doctors. She's running the fucking jewelry counter at Macy's.
I just watched the same scene in Hustlers, and those are two very different movies, but both have, like, can we convey that a character has it rough without a capitalist nerd man going, do you enjoy your job? It's like, this is just shortcut writing.
I don't enjoy my job or you. And speaking of shortcut writing, let's talk about the magical Negro.
Oh,
yeah.
With cuts. 5 minutes of screen time.
The one like big glaring, like, okay, wait a minute.
I
do really appreciate, though, that his name is John. Like, they could have gone so, like, they could have named him, like, you know, like,
right.
Mr. Crossbones.
Right. And then the whole exposition that we get in that scene where he's like, you've used this for evil, you mm-hmm. use this blah blah blah. So you mean to tell me that you spent some time with Charles Lee Ray?
Right.
And you
the
thought
East Side Strangler.
Right, and you thought that, you know, you would tell him the secrets on the afterlife, on living in the afterlife.
Tell this guy how to reconstitute his body into whatever he wants, he will only use that power for good.
Exactly. And I'll also tell him where I hide my own voodoo doll.
Right.
Why
do you have that?
That's the one where I want to get to, like, what, how did, why was this the solution that you came up with in this, like you figured out, okay, we need to get the mind of a killer into a doll.
Right.
And you were like, well, he spent a long time studying voodoo in case.
So much. So much so he's got his murals in his living room.
Right.
And the only thing to get him out is he has to do the ritual on the person who he revealed his true, the first person he revealed his true self to.
Right.
it's
sloppy.
It does.
Lucky it wasn't a cat, you
right?
know? Like he just, well, I can walk around now because nobody's here. Oh, there's a cat. Hey, oh, crap. Now I'm the cat.
I was a little unclear on the mechanics of Chucky slowly becoming flesh.
The longer he spends time in the body. Yes. The longer he spends time in that body. That's
okay.
It. That's what they got.
Why, though? How did that contribute to the story other than, like, I guess there being blood when Chucky gets hurt, which I can see being valuable from a horror movie perspective.
And then also, I guess, just to up the stakes of making Chucky want to get out of that body sooner.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you would think that's a great cover. You stay in a doll's body.
Right.
Like, dude. You're set. Like, you're still able to go ahead and do your murdering,
right.
Yeah, obviously.
Clearly.
So
I get that that's the, like, explanation for the answer to Robin's question, but I don't think that was... I think if the movie was just like, he doesn't want to be a doll anymore,
yeah.
How can he... You know, I don't think I would have gone, but wait a minute, you know?
True.
But, okay, because I guess we're moving towards rating this, I do want to say, like, this movie's good.
It's a good movie.
I was very surprised how much I liked it.
Same.
Like, it is a tight thriller, like, especially the end when they just kind of go full Terminator.
Yes.
Like, even the music cues are very Terminator. But...
Okay, there was probably a few times too many when it's like just the arm bursts through a wall to choke the other cop.
And
into
also
the
little Shining stuff happens as well.
Yeah. Yes. I thought the other cop looked like Ryan Gosling, but like
In Nice Guys, like Ryan Gosling,
like
the Nice
like
Guys,
tubby Ryan Gosling, right? Yeah, definitely had a little
Lars and the Real
schlubby,
Girl,
schlubby Ryan Gosling vibe to me.
Not wrong.
Okay,
I really love how much we went Jaws on the river. Like, it takes 45 minutes before, like, they flip the switch and Chucky just fully moves around on camera.
Yeah,
right.
And I really enjoyed that. And I think I said this when we drew the episode. It's such a good premise because like there so many horror movies like depend on a lot of people not taking the problem seriously for a while.
Right.
And here you've given them a reason to not
take it seriously for a while. Right. Right.
The flip side of that is it's a little weird that they didn't just arrest Andy on the spot.
How do you arrest a 5-year-old, though?
They eventually found a way.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
He's crazy. We need to. He's going to spend some time with us for blah, 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 because I guess at that point now it's been 2 murders in his presence.
Right, so call Dr. Loomis.
But it's like, okay, there's a woman that fell out of a skyscraper with a lot of stumbling over furniture on the way. Like, she had to work to get to that window.
Yeah.
How many people have fallen out of windows so far in the filmography of this podcast? Because it feels like a lot.
Yeah, at some point we're going to have to do some stats on a lot of things. A lot of things overlap. A lot of these movies, whether it be actors or plots.
Tony Goldwyn, Brad Dourif, falling out of windows. Yeah. So she fell out the window. There was a murder weapon. There were footprints at the crime scene that matched Andy's feet and shoes.
But they were small.
No, they weren't.
They were smaller than Andy's feet.
No, they were wearing the same shoes.
They were smaller than Andy's feet.
Nevertheless, the police all left because mom was like, I don't want you here anymore. And they all go, okay. And they
leave. I was surprised by that. It's like, oh, you can do that? I guess as a white woman? that's totally cool.
I don't want the police here. All right.
You're right. Womp, womp, womp.
But other than that, I was like, I knew I would have a good time with this. I'm surprised at how much I liked it.
Me too. I thought for sure I would be much more snarky about a lot of things in this film, but
yeah. No,
I actually enjoyed it.
So let's rate Child's Play. I'm sure if we had drawn Bride of Chucky, or I don't know if any of the other ones were in number one, we would not be flirting with the top of the list, but no. Here we are. I would give it a 79. I don't have too many complaints.
Interesting.
Camila?
And this is just basically based off of my old other ratings of things. I'd have to give it 71 just because I liked it. I like What About Bob better. I can't give it a higher ranking than What About Bob. And
whoever thought you would have to make particular comparison.
And I'm going to go 72.
We're all in the same range. Yeah. 79, 71, a 72. Averages out to a 74. It's not our top movie ever, but it's closer than you'd think.
Surprising.
If you told us that, like, at the end of a full year of these, we would have Child's Play in our top 5?
Would
top
not have
three.
Guessed.
No.
It is our number 3 movie.
Wow.
Behind only Ocean's 11 and What About Bob?
Huh.
Coming in ahead of Ant-Man. Take that. Another movie with toy mayhem.
True.
Yeah.
That's the theme of year one? I don't know. How about that? So we almost bookended the list with our spooky specials. We were a few points away. Well, no, not that, because Ocean's 11 ended up at an 87. But like, we're very close to having our best and worst, one of our best and our worst movies from these two specials.
Before we get any further, what are some of your favorite like Halloween movies that your go tos that you guys like to watch for Halloween?
Halloween, that's one that. Is like I can watch it every year. Like there are some that I might be more, you know, like The Shining is my favorite movie, and I see it a lot. But it's not like time for seasonal fun. I'm going to sit with Kubrick for 2.5 hours. Gotcha. Halloween is it, and this week I purchased a string of Michael Myers blinking lights that play the theme song.
That's kind
of
cool.
An excellent set of prints by a Pittsburgh-based artist named Byron Winton of Jamie Lee and Michael Myers in 78 and 2018.
Ooh. That's cool.
I'm leaning in on Halloween merch this year, so that's the most obvious choice.
I would say that I like Scream. Mm. I'd watch that every year. Yeah. And then I think the movie that I actually have consistently watched the most in the spooky time is The Craft.
Ah, yes.
Never seen it.
You should watch The Craft.
Is it on the list? Probably not.
I doubt it.
Scream is probably one of my go-tos as well, except for like all of them except Scream is a trilogy to me. The fourth one doesn't exist.
I've never seen the fourth one.
Cabin in the Woods is like one of the newer ones.
Oh, yeah, that movie's great.
Like, I love watching that one.
I was going to say Cabin in the Woods. That's a good choice any Halloween. Friday the 13th kind of is like it is the same thing again and again. Like just pick whichever one that happens to come on.
Right.
But Cabin in the Woods is a lot of fun. Young Frankenstein is a lot of fun.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
There's a lot of movies that are, I guess Halloween isn't a season for me where I'm like, oh yeah, I've got movies associated with it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha,
like,
yeah.
I definitely have a bunch of movies that, whether they're Christmassy or not, I'm like, oh, it's Christmas time. Like, I watch When Harry Met Sally around Christmas time every year because there's one scene where she moves a Christmas tree.
So it is a Christmas movie.
I guess it's more of a New Year's movie, but then also, like, Carrie Fisher died in December, so, like, it's a December. Like, I watched it last year on the anniversary of Carrie Fisher's death. Anyway, neither here nor there.
I used to watch That Thing You Do on Christmas Eve because if it was Christmas Eve, my aunt and uncle were staying, so they were in my room, and I was in my brother's room, and he was on the couch, and my brother had a VHS of That Thing You Do.
I feel like you've said this before.
I don't think so. I have, at least not while I was here.
Okay. I just said that to you personally.
That's possible.
In one of our multiple conversations about That Thing You Do.
We sometimes have conversations not on mic. It's weird.
Yeah, it happens every now and then. If you're in one of our Pittsburgh listeners, which is a lot of them, but I don't even think it's the majority of them anymore.
Nice. Hi, everybody else.
Welcome.
Regular shout out to our 4% of listeners from the Philippines. Hi.
Nice.
Hello.
I don't know how you found us.
Yeah.
But thank you. Coming to you live from the iHeart Studios all the way around the world. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
That reminded me to mention, we're coming from the iHeart Studios. Please consider listening not in the way that you currently are, unless that is the iHeart Radio app where you can find our podcast and many other fine podcasts. And you can listen to whatever music you like it's Pandora. And you can listen to the radio station from where you're from. Or, this is fun, just a random one. Just say, what do people listen to
in the Philippines?
Dallas.
Right.
Yeah. Probably not. I don't think there's an iHeart Manila.
Damn
but
it.
We'll find out. Here, I finally joined Row House's film club, and they have a long Halloween run each year, like a week and a half to 2 weeks. So here is their lineup. So tell me if this is what you want to watch at Halloween or not. Director's cut of Midsommar.
Nope.
No, thank you.
I might.
Was
go
that
back.
Like 5 hours?
I didn't.
Yeah. Director's cut.
2:27. Like, I walked out of there like, I don't know, but now I'm like, well, yeah.
So have you seen it?
Yeah, not the director's cut. Oh, I walked out of the regular one like, this isn't as good as Hereditary, and it's kind of, but then now I want to see it again. Mm. Director's cut of The Exorcist.
Yeah, I would watch
that. Sure.
Hocus Pocus, I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
I am 100% part of the generation that is obsessed with Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
So, but I am not as obsessed with it as a lot of people in my cohort. But like, yeah, totally. I am in the target audience for that screening.
Hocus Pocus was not a number one. The Craft was. The Craft is in our list.
Yes.
That's exciting.
I'm super stoked about that.
Original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No.
No, God.
It's not a good time. It's good.
No, yeah,
it's not like a fun time.
Oh, that
movies.
Makes my skin crawl. Like that whole.
That's what. Like, I don't mean this in the way it sounds. I'm going to Houston in like 3 months, and like part of me is like, yeah, but I want to get into like Chainsaw Massacre, Texas for a little while. Like not for the night. But, like, I want to at least drive through and go, oh, I get it now. You know?
In the broad daylight. Yeah. Just, like, real quick. Just kind of drive through.
You'd have to go pretty far. Houston is very sprawled.
Yeah. No, I know. It'd be a journey.
Yeah.
But, like, this is the second time I've been to Texas, and I don't feel like I've seen, you know, the part with Chainsaw Massacre.
So, if anyone is out there who would like to give Sean a tour of Chainsaw Massacre in Texas.
Rob Zombie, if you're listening, show me where your people live. The Descent.
Love that movie.
One of the
love
only
it.
Like great horror movies of the 2000s, which was
really?
Kind of a dark age. It's so
and that
good.
Surprised me how good that was. I think I just watched it on a whim one day, and I was like, this movie is badass. And the second one is just as good.
Oh, they just added Chopping Mall. I can so recommend Chopping Mall. Now, you hear Chopping Mall, and you think, well, there's a serial killer in the mall. No. Not at all. In Chopping Mall, they have decided to deter like shoplifting and loitering with a group of hyper advanced robot guards.
And that is a much better premise.
And when lightning happens to strike the mall, on the night where three couples hung around in the furniture store they work in to all have sex in the same room.
Yeah, of course they do.
They go, the robots go haywire. It's so good.
Just looping back real quick to Child's Play, they could have just had him get struck by lightning as he's dying next to the doll. They didn't,
we didn't need the voodoo.
Need it to be a plan, right? It could have just been the mysteries of lightning.
Exactly. That's what I mean. We didn't need the voodoo. Like, in the remake, again, admittedly not good, but it was like an overworked factory where he, like, died or something.
And he was mad.
Oh, yeah.
He got fired.
He, like, did some kind of, like, blood curse on the thing.
Was it a blood curse?
Or did he just bleed on it a little?
I think he just bled on it a little bit as he was, like, doing some malfunctions. And also, another thing that's just improbable is that the kid is, like, 14 years old.
Why does he have a My Buddy?
Thank you.
He should have a little tablet.
Right.
And just never make eye contact with anyone.
It's time for a brief You Can't Handle the Truth on other stuff we've seen. Who has seen something?
I haven't.
See, what I was about to do was signal to the room, vamp, because I need to plug in my laptop. Nobody?
We failed.
Nothing?
We already covered my time management issues.
On cable? Anything?
I just watched Spider-Man, finally, the Far From Home one.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. There were some I had some questions, I guess, after the fact. It was, I don't know, it was all right. It was good.
I'm glad that they worked it out, Sony and Disney.
Yeah, why did we have to hear about that, though? There were 2 months where they were like, it's not going to happen, and we all got upset, and then they were like, we worked it out.
Oh,
like,
I'm pretty sure that was a negotiation tactic.
Yeah, just get the public involved, get the public enraged, and show you how much people care.
I haven't actually followed the story enough because of my time management problems, and also, you know, like, the country's falling apart, more important things are going on.
There's some other stuff happening in the world that doesn't involve Tom Holland's acting career.
So, but I don't know who actually caved in that situation, but I don't really care.
It's good news. It's nice. Yeah. I am a little, like, I wish I could be pumped about, like, and now maybe the MCU will cross over into Sony's Venomverse, but I just don't care.
Yeah, no.
I kind of want Tom Hardy to get that money and that screen time because, you know, I love me some Tom Hardy.
I wouldn't mind Venom being in the MCU, but I don't care about, like, yay, we got Ant-Man to pop up in the Morbius movie, or like whatever Sony will get in exchange. I don't care.
Which one is okay, yeah. I'm still not 100% clear on the rules on where Venom lies and the whole thing, and I'm assuming there's going to be another one because of Woody Harrelson at the end of it.
And it made a ton of money.
Yeah, did it?
Yeah, it made a ton of money.
Because I heard a lot of people hated it.
It's true. I thought it was fine.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it for what it was.
Right. I just find it weird to see Tom Hardy be normal,
yeah,
like in the first half of the movie where he's, and I don't know if I've talked about this on this podcast before, but when he's just like, hey, it's my girlfriend and I love her and we're eating breakfast in bed, and I'm like, this is weird. You
should get more intense.
Right.
Get more weirdly intense, Tom Hardy.
What was that movie where it's just him alone in a car for the whole time? Lock.
Yes, Lock. That was good.
It's weird because he totally carries that and he's not particularly intense.
There's some intense muttering to himself, but you're right. It's not like over his usual, like, over the top.
It's a very good performance.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen anything, partially because, to peel back the curtain, we just recorded a week ago.
Right.
So I don't have much.
That's right. Yeah.
I won't see Joker until Thursday.
Same. I'm going, well, not Thursday, but I'm going this weekend. It's Dan's birthday outing.
And I think I'm going to skip that.
Really?
Yeah.
Too toxic?
Yeah. We'll see. I'll see what normal people's reaction to it
right.
is. Yeah.
I mean, it's been everything from this is the future of cinema to it's okay. So.
Right.
Huh.
And again, with Ad Astra, it was the critics all say it's great. And then normal people are like, we like entertainment. Thank you. I still want to see it again. So hey, go watch Halloween movies wherever. If you're in Pittsburgh, there's a million. I didn't even get through all of the Row House because they added a bunch, including the original Hills Have Eyes, which I don't know if I've seen. Black Christmas, which is great. Night of the Living Dead. That's at Row House. But everywhere, that's one really nice thing is even multiplexes are like, we're going to start doing a few here and there leading up to
thanks, guys. Yeah. Much appreciated. I also usually just kind of go back and rewatch a lot of the Walking Dead.
Oh, sure. I only ever watch one
season.
That's
what I'm doing right now.
That's fun. Well, you as discussed, you have a baby.
Yes. So, you're like, so I'm watching Walking Dead and Grey's Anatomy is what I'm bitch watching right now.
You need things that there's a lot of.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I need.
And that is those two. Let's draw a movie. We are now in a world without
regular stuff.
A veto-less world, like the James Garfield administration.
We there are no vetoes.
There are no Danny DeVitos.
Everything is up for grabs. It could be more horror. It could be not. But whatever it is, we have to watch it, including the last two number one movies in America, Downton Abbey and Abominable, which, okay, there's nothing I can read into there other than fall is the new winter in terms of box office dead zones. The selection, coming back to our normal...
alphabetical list.
Our normal... No, it's not alphabetical. Or yes, it is alphabetical. We are back to our normal list. The fear, was that without our vetoes, we would get plopped down in the middle of a series without context. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what has happened.
Damn it.
We will be watching The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 1. So we will watch half of the last chapter of the Hunger Games series.
I have fallen asleep watching this movie on multiple airplanes.
I love these movies.
So I'm excited to finally watch all of it, and I'll probably end up watching the second one, too.
But it'll be interesting, I guess, to see how I think of what I think about it without watching the other ones, like, right up against it.
I feel like I'm going to end up watching all four.
Yeah.
I am very curious.
But again, maybe I own not all... my time management issues.
I know. Right. I own them if you would like to borrow them. Okay.
There is a handsome box set?
It's not a together.
Let me issue a brief box set complaint. I know this isn't why we're here, but this is a public service because this is a lesson to everybody. I caved because the most ridiculous Twin Peaks box set ever is coming out.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like they never put everything together deliberately. This is the one that has all three seasons and the movie and the movie length collection of other scenes and 20 hours of bonus content, and it's in a weird cube and there's die cut figures in it. Ooh. And postcards. Like this is the big one. And I was like, I don't really want to spend that much money right now, but the hell with it, I'm doing it, and clicked buy. And I thought, I'm gonna feel good about that as long as there's not more Twin Peaks later, and then I have a box set that's most of the things. And it took 48 hours before I was on Twitter and someone was like, we're hearing rumblings about Twin Peaks in 2020. It's like, this is...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very heartbreaking when your box set is not complete. Mm-hmm. Saw movies. I purchased all of them.
That's your fault for assuming they would ever stop.
Big deal about it ending.
Right. This is the last one was called The Final Chapter, pretty sure.
The third Friday the 13th movie is called The Final Chapter.
The third of how many?
10? 11? I'm very curious as to what I think about any part of The Hunger Games, because before I was a Harry Potter nerd, I did read all of those books. Mm. I was very pumped for the movies, and then the movies came out, and I was kind of like, meh. And I don't know if it was because they weren't that great or because I had, fan expectations.
Right.
So
we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll get into it, man.
We will get into half of the last one. Unlike Divergent, the last one actually has a final chapter, but we're just going to watch part one. Next time, may the odds ever be in our favor.
What about the song, buddy?
Oh, the song. I wouldn't last long in the Hunger Games because I would forget something obvious.
Oh, wait. He like goes back.
I needed the gun. Oh, that's a shame for me. The Child's Play came out November 9th, 1988. What was the number one song in America? It was a one-hit wonder that nobody knows, so good luck.
Oh, Locomotion by Kylie Minogue?
No. You're 10 years early for Kylie Minogue.
Wild West.
Interesting.
By the Escape Club.
Did you see the screen?
No, is that what it is?
Shut up.
One, first how do you
all,
know
right?
that's
out.
A song?
I love that song, and I very recently heard it, and it was like on the radio, and they said 1988.
Oh,
so
my God.
As soon as you said one hit wonder, I was like, all right.
I did not, when I saw that to write it down, I was like, I've never seen these words in combination before.
I know the song, but damn, just like to pull it out like
that. I can't believe that's right.
And And then when I listened to it, I was like, oh yeah, it's the one, the wild one. Okay, yeah, I get it.
There's something they keep talking about going to the '90s.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And now we could do this. We could do 1,000 episodes. There's never going to be a better guest than that.
No, but
I'm really impressed with.
I'd like to get back. You say I'm about 10 years too early for Kylie Minogue.
For Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
He doesn't know about Kylie Minogue. Part one.
There was a version of
Kylie Minogue. Part two.
Yeah, she did, and she was alive and kicking in the 80s.
She didn't start with Can't Get You Out of My
Head. No, that was her comeback.
Yeah, she redid The Locomotion.
In the 80s?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to look into this.
Yes, there was a video. Yes.
It was huge.
It was a big deal.
Because I didn't know what Escape Club was, I did look up one fact, which is that is the only British band to have a number one song in the United States without ever charting in the UK.
Huh.
Interesting.
So they have no Wild Wild West in the UK.
Right.
So they don't, it was no context.
It's all, we don't really pay attention to cardinal directions. It's just the one. That's such
the
a.
Wild Wild West is Wales.
I don't understand. Why are we singing about Wales? What's that got to do with anything?
I'm going to escape before trying to make a Wales sea creatures pun. All right. We'll see you next time. Number one.